this one.
And Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
So we hit the midway mark of the week. We crest the hump, if you will. And begin to head downhill toward a pretty exciting weekend. Pretty exciting day yesterday, not only on the UT campus, but around the sporting landscape. And we're always glad to have you treading on our landscape. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9. 101.9 AM 1260 and streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. My name is Craig Wade. Glad to have you with us. We're with you up until the noon hour, as we do daily. And as we pointed out, there's much to get to. First things first, just to make sure we don't have any of the... Alphonse and Gaston after you. Oh, no, pardonnez-moi, after you. Our producer, Jonathan John Donaldson, J.J. Donaldson, we know him as Snoop Daniel. Can you give me the heads-up alert when Jeff Howe is in the fold?
Yes.
And for folks, wait a minute, he's your co-host. Shouldn't you be looking? Remember, in these safety measure, socially distant times that we are dealing with and living in, we are actually operating from separate rooms so that we can keep each other healthy and safe and well. And Jeff was finishing up the podcast yesterday, so I didn't even know when he actually had hopped on the headset and was ready to go. This morning, I know he was cleaning up a couple of other things because it is a very, very busy time in Horns 24/7 these days. But he's going to be on here momentarily, and then, of course, he's on to ride it out with us all the way to noon. So when Jeff is there, just give me the heads up on that. In the meantime, how are you this morning, Snoop Daniel?
I'm good. I had a very, very busy night of basketball last night. So.
Tell.
Well, the boys and girls are in full swing.
Yes,
they're
they
all
are.
In district play. And really, they felt a little neglected because football, usually by Christmas, is like one team left. Well, you know, mid-January, we got two teams at state. So we've been doing a little catch-up.
Yep.
But there's no Greg Brown in the Austin area for basketball this year, so that's a little different. But KJ Adams at Westlake, the Kansas commit, he's
pretty
special.
Yeah,
I saw they beat Lake Travis by 20 last night, and to close the game, he had a dunk that should be Sports Center top 10.
Posterizing.
They were blowing them out so bad, nobody was filming but me because I got there late because I started it with Maynard Hendrickson. Anyway, it's a crazy night, but you know, fun. I love to hoop, Craig.
Well, that's good to know. Speaking of Westlake, this being a Wednesday, here we are on January the 13th, and saying during football season, final week of the high school football season, Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, will join us coming up a little later on this hour, half hour. It's our weekly conversation with him. Why not? It's only a state championship game, right? Against his son, against Riley Dodge and the South Lake Herald Dragons, where Todd has established so much dominance and had the dynasty there in the early 2000s there at Carroll. So it does make for some unique storylines. But really and truly, and Todd will be the first to say, you know, it's about his players and this particular group of Westlake Chaparrals. And so he'll visit with us coming up here in a little bit. Also, we'll have our Inconceivable segment a little bit later on this hour. Coming up in a few minutes here, we'll have our Whataburger Top 5. Whataburger Top 5 on Wednesday. This is our last Wednesday Whataburger Top 5 of the year. And the Whataburger Top 5 on Wednesdays is the top 5 players to watch. This season, we seeded C-E-D-E-D, not S-E-E-D-E-D. We seeded those responsibilities to Snoop Daniel. So Snoop, you're going to have five players to watch
for
the state championship game.
And this edition, I'm not going to have any Austin players.
None. So, in other words, these are the guys that, say, Cedar Park and Westlake may be going up against. Keep your eyes on these guys because these are the ones to watch to see if Cedar Park and against Denton Ryan and Westlake against South Lake Carroll can execute against those guys. Therein lies the challenge, is what you're saying.
Yeah, players on both sides of the ball for Denton Ryan and for, of course, South Lake Carroll.
Very good. I like that. I like the angle. A very creative look at that. And obviously we'll run down the schedule for it. Somebody asked a question right away on the Specs text line, saying fans or no fans tonight. Unfortunately, I have to be the one to report to you that there will be no fans allowed at the Texas game tonight or tomorrow. So no Longhorn, it's still the safety protocols in place. But we do hope you'll tune into the contest. We'll have it for you. Texas against Texas Tech, number 4 in the nation against number 15 in the country. 7:30 airtime. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off tonight. 8 o'clock tip-off from the Frank Irwin Center. Texas against Texas Tech. So we'll have that for you tonight, and hopefully you'll be able to tune in to that. All right, so as I mentioned, Snoop will have Whataburger Top 5 coming up in a few minutes. Then Todd Dodge, head coach at Westlake, joins us, our final in-season conversation with the Shaps head coach. We will have, in addition to those things, we'll have our inconceivable moment and segment coming up later on this hour. Then we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour, and with the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to bring you the conversation I had yesterday with Steve Sarkisian, the new head football coach at the University of Texas. Of course, we brought to the news conference live yesterday, and that was on many platforms, certainly, and many media outlets in the area, both online and live and all of those sorts of things. Our friends at Longhorn Network had that role in there. Also, I know Roger Wallace and his crew at KXAN.com were streaming it, and there was all of that for the news conference. And, of course, we brought it to you live here on the Horn as well. So we had the whole news conference. After that, I did have the opportunity to sit down and visit with Coach Sark, and there was a lot of folks tweeting at me, replying on Facebook to some photos I'd posted last night, asking, where can I hear that conversation? Where can I hear that conversation? Well, online at hornfm.com, but we're going to play the conversation in its entirety just past the top of the hour, in the 11 o'clock hour. And Jeff will lead you into that. Jeff also, of course, will have football notes coming up in the next hour, but he will lead you into that because for a few minutes I'll be stepping out of that onto a conference call and then coming back. So, but you'll hear the conversation in its entirety, the visit with Coach Sark, Steve Sarkisian. And Coach Sark is fine. You're perfectly correct to just refer to him as Coach Sark if you like. In fact, that's his Twitter handle at Coach Sark. So there's that. So we'll have that for you, and Jeff will have some football notes in the 11 o'clock hour as well. So, yes, a busy time, no doubt about it. And CB says, your Sark interview isn't up on SoundCloud yet. One thing, CB, I can tell you is that they're editing the video, the actual video where you not only can hear the interview, you actually watch us. And they're putting the edit on. Snoop knows all about this stuff, about the process that goes into editing.
Lengthy.
That edits the actual video that was shot onto and synced up with the actual audio of the interview, correct?
That takes time.
Yeah, but they're working on it. As they say in Indiana Jones or Raiders of the Lost Ark, we have top men working on that. And Indiana Jones goes, what kind of men? Top men. So we have, anyway, there's and men and women, I think, in this case. So anyway, that will be posted, but we're also going to have the conversation itself, which you can hear, obviously, coming up here just past the top of the hour. So that'll be happening as well. College basketball, in case you didn't notice last night, Kansas got beat again. lost at Oklahoma State. They were way down, came back, took the lead, and then the Cowboys came back and won the game 75-70. Kansas was inbounding down three with 4 seconds to go to try to tie it, set up a three, and it was picked off at a game-ending slam dunk to end it. And Oklahoma State wins. The significance of that, you say, well, the Longhorns still have to go to Stillwater. They've already won in Lawrence, and they still have to go to Stillwater. All of that's true. The significance, the main significance of this, is that Texas and Baylor are unbeaten in Big 12 conference play, and every other school has at least two losses in conference play. So that's the significance that you're talking about there. And with regard to Baylor, you know, the resulting question follows is if they ever get back on the floor, you know, because they've having games postponed due to COVID protocols, are hoping to get back on the floor this weekend. And then they have Kansas on Monday night in Waco. I know this because I'm working on the national radio broadcast of that game. So it's Kansas and Baylor Monday night at the Farrell Center. So and they're hoping to have everything back on track for that. The cobbled together, reworked, restructured Big 12 women's basketball schedule. They're going through very similar type things, mainly with the K-State program, also Kansas and Oklahoma, with some issues. That's why the Texas women didn't play OU last night. They're going to play Kansas at home tomorrow night. That was supposed to be the conference opener back on December 17th. So it's requiring, clearly, a lot of shuffling together and flexibility. Because we're not through this. We knew we weren't going to be through this pandemic. It was going to take some time, and we're still, dealing with it and how it affects intercollegiate athletic programs and, for that matter, interscholastic athletic programs. I, for one, am relieved, and I've been asked several times. I've done a few interviews this week in advance of getting ready to call these state championship games for television. Am I surprised that the season reached its conclusion? I don't know if surprised is there. Relieved is definitely a word for it. I was always hopeful that it would get done, but in listening and visiting with folks at the UIL throughout the course of the fall, they knew that it was going to be difficult to try to navigate all of it and to make sure the teams could have roster. We had a few playoff games, as you know, that had to be forfeited. Early round playoff games. Of all of those games, I think there was only one that I can think of where the favored team had to step aside because they couldn't get it. In all other cases, I think the teams that were favored, and in fact, in some cases, according to the computer stuff, pretty substantially were able to move forward. The teams that were playing were not able to field representative rosters for that. So, by and large, it's well over, I think, 95% of the high school football games in the state will have been played when all is said and done. It was like that last month when they were doing the 1A through 4A state championships last month, because I had a live television interview with Dr. Susan Elza, the athletic director of athletics for the UIL, and asked her about the percentage number. She said it's been over 90%. Percent the whole season, even at its lowest ebb, and it's at about 95% right now. So that's good that it's going to wind up in that. But it was anything but a slam dunk that it was all going to happen, and that it was definitely going to take place. But it looks like they're getting through to the finish line. College football reached the end, the finish line there, and they're trying to work it with both pro football. It's been a little dicey, but it looks like it's okay heading into the divisional round of the playoffs this weekend. Pro basketball, however, they're having to postpone games now. The hope is that they don't have to shut down and then just restart at some point. And college basketball is dealing with it, as we know. So we mentioned that. We'll have more on that. All right. So that's kind of setting the table for all of those things. But right now, it's time for a Whataburger Top 5.
Now, it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive
today's edition.
Here we go!
Top 5 players to watch.
Now, this is our final Whataburger Top 5 players to watch Wednesday segment that we do. Because, Mondays, his top five performances of the weekend. Tuesdays throughout the season has been the Double Meat with Cheese edition, the top 10 state rankings. Of course, the rankings stop when the playoffs start, but we've been running down the schedule on that. Thursday, tomorrow, will be top five road trips, and Friday is top five matchups, which is interesting considering we're down to four matchups, so it'll kind of be a four. But it might be matchups of players to watch on that as well. That's another way to look at that. And Snoop will have that on Friday as I head up call the 5A Division I championship between Cedar Park and Denton Ryan on Friday night. However, Wednesday is the top five players to watch. And you say you've got a different perspective on it today and this week.
A non-Austin area top five players to watch.
Okay, and these are five players to watch in the two matchups against the two greater Austin area schools still alive in the playoffs.
5A D1, 6A D1.
All right, I'll let you just jump right in your order. Count it down from number five to number one. The top five players, opposing players,
yes,
to watch this week are?
Honestly, all these guys could be number one, but I will start with Billy Bowman, former UT commit, current Oklahoma commit.
His girlfriend plays softball at OU.
That's what I've heard.
Just telling you.
Okay. We could be seeing him taking passes from Spencer Rattler as soon as next year. But he has a big matchup against Westlake. Okay, so I was looking at his numbers. 81 catches leads the team. 1140 through the air leads the team. 14 receiving touchdowns. So, obviously,
that's his offensive numbers.
Yes.
And by the way, for folks who don't know, he's an outstanding two-way player just like Jatavion Sanders is. They're both great two-way players.
So, I'm wondering who's going to – I guess it would be Lucas Maru. Who would
be one guy.
I'll look at the opposite side, too. Who would have to hold him in check? All right, my number four player is actually two.
No. It's not Lucas Maru. Lucas Maru is for Westlake.
Right. Oh, well,
we're talking about Cedar Park is going to have to
Oh, yeah, yes, yes. Sorry, excuse me. Oh, so it would be Michael Putney.
There you go.
Number six. Thank you, Craig.
All right.
Keyori Hicks and Caleb Hicks are my number four A, B player to watch. They lead the team in rushing. Four Denton Ryan. Keyori is actually the older guy. Mm-hmm. He has 800 yards rushing, but Caleb, he's only a sophomore, and he has 751 rushing yards on less carries. So they're going to handle the majority of the rushing yardage for Denton Ryan.
And both are explosive runners. Keyori is the more physical one between the tackles guy.
So he would be Thunder?
I guess he would be, yeah. Yeah, I guess he could be. Thunder. They both have their thunder and lightning qualities, though.
Okay. Oh, God. Okay. Number three. And again, all these guys could be number one, but Jatavion Sanders for Denton Ryan. He's a senior. All right, so we've all seen the freakish one-handed grabs that he's made.
Four this year.
Four, and they've all been on SportsCenter, but 15 receiving touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns, and you mentioned last week he put a passing touchdown on the ledger.
Yep, on a Philly special. He is also an absolute wrecking crew on defense at defensive end. Just saying.
Four sacks leads the team.
By the way, one of his four one-handed grabs was an interception in the season opener against Arlington Martin. He just snagged it and then took it the distance.
Oh my gosh. And he has legs like a
tree trunks.
I can't believe how big he is. And like when he made that one-handed catch that Nick Harris got the clip of, he was running away. Somebody's like, "Oh, he's the next DK Metcalf."
Yeah.
Like DK Metcalf is like his little brother.
Can't wait to see him in a Longhorn uniform.
Okay, number two, and this is a guy that you kind of turned me on. Well, actually, no, I'm gonna put him at number one.
Okay.
My number two player is Quinn Ewers, the quarterback for Carroll, a former Texas commit, current Ohio State commit, just a junior. Now he's been hurt this year.
He had a sports hernia thing, has come back and has been even better since returning.
Yeah, so he has 25 touchdowns and three picks in those seven games. And of course, I know Cade Klubnik is super excited to match up with this guy because they're in the same class. Cade has an offer from Texas, which Quinn rejected. So I think this is going to be really personal. Lastly, my number one player to watch, Owen Allen. A sophomore. What's up with the class of 23? It's a lot of talented sophomores this year. They're making big splashes. Okay, so he has over 2,000 yards rushing, 26 rushing touchdowns. My key stat is that he has nothing on the through the air. So
he's a running back. He's a running back. He's explosive, and he has been a critical element for South Lake Carroll in getting its wins, say, over Euless Trinity, and then, of course, last week over Duncanville. Owen Allen has been a major part of the Dragons' victories.
I will say that I don't think Westlake has ever had a linebacker as – like Levi Jones was good, and Brecken Hager good too, but he played on the line. But Nick Morris is the best linebacker. I guess I've covered Westlake roughly now like 12, 13, 14 years. He's the best. So –
If I
trusted any, and you want a guy that can tackle him solo.
Yep.
And that's so rare. I don't want to go too far back, but when Westlake played North Shore, they had a running back that it took like five guys to tackle every time, except for one kid who didn't even make it past his Sam Duffy was his name. He didn't even play his junior, senior year. But he would tackle that running back by himself every time. And I thought that was the only reason Westlake was competitive against North Shore. So you need that one guy. So watch out for Owen Allen, Nick Morris. All right, that's my top five.
All right, there it is.
Thank you, Craig.
Whataburger top five players to watch who will be matching up against the Greater Austin team still alive. Cedar Park against Denton Ryan, and of course Westlake against South Lake Carroll.
Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me do that segment all year.
Oh, it was
unexpected and really made me bone up a little bit more on my knowledge.
If everything you're doing on Flex ATX, it was a perfect dovetail. All right. Speaking of dovetailing, up next we visit with Todd Dodge one final time this season to get his look at his Westlake Chaparrals getting ready for the state championship game with South Lake Carroll. That will do when we continue with Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.
Well, she knows his love's in Tulsa, and she knows he's gonna go. Well, it ain't no woman, flesh and blood, it's that damned old road he go. Oh, well, it's bulls and blood, it's a dust and mud, it's a roar of a Sunday crowd. It's white in his knuckles, the gold in the buckle, he'll win the next go round. It's boots and shaps, it's cowboy hats, it's spurs and let it go. It's the ropes and the reins and the joy and the pain, and they call the thing a rodeo.
This is Light the Tower here on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. And we're with you up until noon. Jeff Howe is in the building now. Are you not,
indeed,
Jeffrey? Yeah, okay. That's good. Glad that you're on board with it. Before we obviously get to our conversation with Coach Dodge coming up, let me get your thoughts you were in on the question queue yesterday. What was it? Did you tweet it? You were glad that you shaved and put on a clean shirt or something like that?
Glad I made the decision to shave and put on a clean shirt before that press conference. So otherwise, I would have been just scraggly looking and had a T-shirt on and embarrassed myself on Longhorn Network. So thankfully that didn't happen yesterday.
No doubt about that. And I would say that you're kind of used to that by now, though, right? I mean, during the course of the season, right? You got used to that.
You know, it depends on where I am, Craig. I know if I'm doing a press conference in here at the ARN compound.
Yes.
I usually have to turn off my video because depending on where I'm at in the building, the Wi-Fi might not be as reliable. So to get the question across, I might have to shut video down. So at that point, it doesn't matter. But when I'm at home, it's usually pretty reliable. Oh. So you just got to make sure you clean up a little bit. Here's why, Craig. It's not for my own vanity.
Yep.
Somebody will tell my wife, saw Jeff on Longhorn Network today. When's the last time he shaved? It's like he didn't shower. He looks tired.
And then you're going to hear from it from home. So that's,
I'll hear from the wife. I just got to make sure I look a little presentable.
All right. Okay. It is time now for our weekly conversation, our final one of the season. Joining us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, and, of course, our weekly conversations with the area football coaches brought to you by friends at Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Check them out online at cpdoors.com. Todd Dodge is the head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals. We've been talking about it all season long, having an opportunity to do this. And I'll go back to the whole bizarre, surreal element of it, Todd, as we're going to have temperatures in the 60s today. Here we are mid-January, and in some ways, I guess it might all seem like a late October practice day, judging atmospherically, when we all know it's a lot different.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we we actually took the opportunity. We're going to practice this afternoon. You know, normally we practice, early in the morning. And I said, you know what, I'm going to take advantage of this 65-degree weather I'm going to have this afternoon.
You know, I've asked you about this before because you've had so many teams go so deep in the playoffs about the itinerary and the logistics of getting a football team ready to travel up to AT&T Stadium or the Metroplex or in the past when you played at NRG 5 years ago, that sort of thing, and how it affects really even your whole week of practice and how you do it. Is it on top of everything else because the calendar being what it was and the season being pushed back, did it call for some extra creativity on the part of you and your staff to make sure you're still getting in the proper work and the proper preparation with your guys, getting the proper rest as well?
Yeah, it does. There's definitely with COVID going on. And I tell you what's crazy about it, when we weren't in school, it was kind of harder to do the deal because as we've gone through the season, it's been set, Mondays at 4:30, Tuesday mornings at 5:30 a.m., Wednesday mornings at 5:30 a.m., Thursday mornings at 7 a.m. I mean, it's just, boom, it's set. And then you get to when we were off for Christmas and, when we were off for Thanksgiving before, and now we've been off for the New Year's week. It's been a little later because there's no sense in us making our kids get up at 4:30 in the morning if they, that's all because of they got to be in school. And so, but this week, I literally just said, I looked at the deal. I said, we're bruised. I wouldn't say we're healthy, but you and I have talked about it a bunch of times. An unhealthy football team will win a state championship, and I'm sure that Riley's team is a bit unhealthy and ours is too. But the unhealthy guys will play, and I think we'll be able to function a little bit better in practice in 65 rather than in 32 this morning.
I think so. I dare say. Let's talk about what caused those bruises. It was a landmark effort, certainly by your entire team, certainly by your defense to limit an incredible offense like North Shore's to the 21, and then to be able to have that drive, to have Michael Tapp make an incredible catch, to have Cade Klubnik on 4th-and-1 be able to get it into the end zone, those kinds of things. I mean, those are the types of human as well as team responses that make a coach so proud of what he sees from his team, isn't it?
And so, I look at our goal board, and as we've gone through the year, we've averaged about, 5 out of 7 on special teams. We've averaged about 8 out of 10 on offense, 8 out of 10 on defense. And then all of a sudden you look up and it's more like, our special teams played great. I think there was the absolute glue that kept everything together. But, we hit 5 out of 10 on defense, 5 out of 10 on offense. And that's what happens when you play the number 2 team in the state and our number 1 team in the state, number 2 team in the nation. They're a very, very good team. And I was just so proud that, a lot of people didn't know about it. A lot of people have said, and I guess rightfully so, we don't know about Westlake because, maybe they haven't played someone, that's whatever we think we had. But so you can't play anybody any tougher than North Shore in the fifth round of playoffs, and our kids just absolutely answered the bell, especially when we went down 21-17 with 4 minutes left to go in the game.
Yeah, and Todd, I think some of that what you just talked about is also kind of a Regency bias of Region 4. Folks may look at Region 4 and say, well, Region 4, how many state championships is that one other than Lake Travis and Westlake? It's been a while. But we've seen Steele and Judson obviously have their moments in the past, so maybe that contributes to the unknown factor. But, your guys didn't mind laying in the weeds a little bit on this one, did they?
No, not at all. I mean, the one thing about it, we don't apologize here in Region 4 at all. People can think what they want to think and everything, but I guarantee you, when you match up against a team like Steele or Judson or Smithson Valley or Clemens or Brandeis or Brennan, athletic teams, and so we believe we've earned our way here, and we can only play the teams that are put in front of us, and that's why I'm so proud of the kids from last week is maybe the first time all year where the outside world was saying boy, the odds are against you in this one, and we came away with a win.
So now we move forward to this game this week, and I for folks who don't know, I texted both Todd and Riley Dodge in tandem on a bus going to the airport in West Virginia after the basketball game, congratulating both, and I was really struck by something both of you said. Riley's response was, "We're really humbled and excited and thrilled." Your response was to say, "This is what we wanted, much more so than the Texas football days." I thought it was admirable of you guys to agree to go along with the Texas football days matchup initially, and then of course it got set aside. But you said, "This is what we had all along." And then I loved at the end of it, you said, "Love you, son." And then --, pops. So, and then I saw a TV soundbite where you said, "What is it? It's the first time you've ever told an opposing head coach before a state championship game that you loved him?"
Yeah. We were talking about officials. You know, we were deciding Riley's the home team, and so he's going to be the one to reach out to the officiate deal. And so we're going to use the Houston chapter, and we decided on a crew, and we were happy with it. And we got through talking, and I said, "Love you, son. Have a great week." You know, I caught myself. It's probably the first time I told the guy I've been getting ready to play that I love him.
We're visiting with Todd Dodge, head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, here on Light the Tower with Craig Way and Jeff Howe.
Coach, I know everybody's looking at the quarterback matchup in this game, and a lot of eyes, you know, rightfully so, are going to be on Quinn Ewers, but you've got a pretty good one, too, with Cade Klubnik. And not to compare Cade to, you know, guys you've had in the past, whether it's Chase Daniel or Sam or whoever, but in regards to Cade, you know, when you give a guy kind of the keys to the offense and he's the full-time starter for that first year, what kind of progress have those other guys, did those other guys maybe make from the start of a season to the end that you've seen in Cade from when you guys got started in September to now?
Yeah, he most reminds me of my son Riley. It's very ironic. In all the quarterbacks I've had, you know, Cade is 6'2", and Riley was 5'11", and everything. But you talk about the suddenness, the quick arm, the dual threat ability, the absolute love for the game. But that's who he reminds me of, and he reminds his their sophomore years were similar. Riley was the backup to a guy that led us to the state championship, and he played a lot at quarterback, but it was always, you know, about two possessions a game. And then Riley played wide receiver for us. He was our fifth wide receiver that year. He was a major contributor on a state champion. And kind of the same thing with Cade. Both of them, when they were sophomores, were way too good of players for us not to have on the varsity. And then so now Cade comes into his junior year, and he's done everything that I thought he would do. And that's be the leader, you know, his understanding of the game, his want to better, his confidence of, you know, one of the things that a young quarterback sometimes can't handle blame. You know, and we always talk about in the game of football, there's two people that get way too much credit, and there's two people on a team that get way too much blame, and that's the head coach and that's the quarterback. And so you have to be able to handle when you get too much credit, because sometimes you didn't deserve the credit. And you also have to handle when you get too much blame, when sometimes you didn't deserve all the blame. That's one of the things that Cade has grown so much in, is being able to handle both ends of that.
Toward that end, since we're on the subject of quarterbacks, Todd, when you get ready, and this obviously has been well documented, not your first rodeo, so when you get ready for a state championship, do you hear from some of your quarterbacks? You know, we talk about Chase Daniel or Greg McElroy, or gosh, I'll go back to Nathan Chandler. I mean, your guys, your quarterbacks of your past state championship teams. Riley, of course, you did when you weren't, you know, facing him in a different set of circumstances. Sam, obviously, you know, coming off of the appearance in the finals from 2015. Do you hear from those guys in a state championship week?
Yeah, absolutely. I heard from Chase. I've even heard from Max Naki. Yeah, there's a name for you.
Yeah.
That 1990 McKinney Lions, and then a great quarterback at TCU. But, yes, I hear from all of them. Love them all. I've got a pretty cool deal scheduled for this spring at Horseshoe Bay. I'm getting there's about 15 on the list, and about eight of them have already – said that they could do it, but we're going to have a little weekend golf outing of my quarterbacking tree from 19 all the way back to about 1988 all the way through 2020.
Wow, that's something else. Okay, I'm going to shift off of quarterbacks. I got to ask you about Owen Allen, but and how he really attracts a head coach's attention with what he's done for Riley's offense.
Well, Owen, last year I got a chance to watch Riley's team play two or three times, just being a dad, and kind of saw Owen start the season on the freshman team. And then, 4 weeks later, he's rushing for 100 yards in a varsity game. You could tell he was a typical, South Lake Carroll / West Lake kind of kid. He reminds you a little bit of Aaron Luna from back in the day. Just a fabulous football player, And now he's a sophomore, and he looks a lot different than he did, this time last year. He's a rocked up, 190 pounds, where he was about 165, 170 then, put on a lot of muscle. So he's definitely, a huge weapon for them.
John, is this one of those games? I hear coaches say this often, and most of the time I think it does apply. Sometimes it might or might not, but it seems to in this case that – if your guys are being true to themselves and their game and playing the way that they've gone all year long, you're not really that concerned about what there's guys you got to prepare for and game plan for. But is this one of those classic deals where we got to be us, and if we are, we're in good shape in this matchup?
Yeah. Well, that's what we've asked our kids to do throughout, because we were able to, with the, probably five or six games into the season, we were pretty much able to set, this is who we are. This is how we play defense. This is how we play special teams. This is how we spread the ball around offensively. We have a borderline, dynamic quarterback. We've got good receivers. We've got a above average offensive line, so forth, so on. So, yeah, that's all that I ask our kids right now is just have a great week of work. Let's enjoy the journey. Understand this about the team you're going to play, the give a care factor. We're not going to say we're going to win the give a care factor, because I promise you they're going to care just as much as we are, and they're going to fight their tails off. And Riley's going to be talking to them the same thing I'm going to be talking to my guys about as far as our goal boards and our game day expectations. Just go play. Just go be who you are, and understand this, and I told my kids this yesterday, and I could see it in their collective eyes that this game is not about Dodge versus Dodge. This is about the Westlake Chaparral's football team against the South Lake Carroll Dragon football team. It's about a bunch of 16, 17-year-old young men that have earned their way to this state championship, and that's who's going to win or lose the football game.
And that's why I asked you all those other questions. And now these final two things I want to ask you are more of the personal nature. First of all, this is kind of a fun deal. Does it almost seem like a coming full circle deal for you? Your old receiving cohort, Shea Walker, is going to join me on the telecast as the analyst for this. It was 40 years ago that you guys were suiting up for Port Arthur Jefferson and had that 19-7 lead on Permian at the half before it got away. But does it kind of seem like an almost full circle moment for you? You played 40 years ago. Now you're coaching. You've won multiple state championships. But here you are getting an opportunity. And even we got Shea in the booth with us.
Well, first of all, with Shea, I talked to Shea on a couple of occasions this week. And I'm just absolutely thrilled that he's going to be with you. And with Shea, and I always used to have a kind of a joke going that, when I was at South Lake, we went to five in a row state championship games. And Shea, I think, was with you calling all five of them. And the joke was, we always knew Shea would be there. I had to earn my way there. it's kind of like these Wednesday calls that you and I and Jeff have. Is that y'all going to be on here anyway? I've got to earn my way back.
Well, you've more than done that. All right, final thing here. It's the obligatory Elizabeth Dodge question. I know you got asked about it the other day about who's she rooting for this, and I thought you had a pretty good answer on this. My question was when you said she was going to be wearing Westlake gear but a Carroll hat, hasn't someone stepped up to offer to do one of those split jerseys where it's half green and white and half white with the blue lettering that you have as the road team or something like that? And I know we say this with tongue in cheek, but I know it's a special week for the family, isn't it, regardless of the outcome?
No, it really is. And, you know, as I said before, I think Riley would tell you, and I definitely will tell you, that we want our kids to realize that it's about them. However, it is very special for our family. It's something that we don't take lightly. We both absolutely love the Texas High School Coach Association, Texas High School football. It's been putting this great sport, this great culture of Texas High School football has been putting food on our table for a long, long time, and continue to. And we love it. But we're glad to be a part of something that's historic. And that's where our part stops. But I think Elizabeth, yeah, to answer your question about split jersey, I'm kind of surprised too. I mean, that someone hadn't done something like that, but that's beyond my pay grade on that. So I'll leave it at that. But yeah, she said she's going to wear Westlake shirt, and she's got a Carroll hat. She actually has a button that she's going to wear at South Lake Carroll from when Riley played, and it had his number. And so she's going to wear that.
That's great. Todd, as always, we wish you the best. It's been a great year visiting with you every week. I appreciate you taking the time, and we'll wish you the best of luck. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday over there at the stadium. I guess I'll visit with you on the conference call coming up here in a couple hours over Fox.
Yes. Thank you all so much, guys. I appreciate everything you all do for Texas High School football.
Thank you, Todd. All right.
Thanks, Coach.
That is the head coach of the Westlake Chaparrals, Todd Dodge, whose Chaps will take on the South Lake Carroll Dragons, coached by his own son, Riley Dodge, Saturday night at 7 o'clock. And we have it for you on Fox Sports Southwest. You'll be able to watch that. And Shea Walker, one of his receiving targets, along with Brent Duhon at Port Arthur Jefferson. But Shea will join me in the booth for the call of that one, so we're excited about that. All right, coming up, we'll have our Inconceivable segment when we continue with Light the Tower on the Horn.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Warby Parker. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at warbyparker.com/terms.
Inconceivable!
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 You keep using the word. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Well, it always, of course, means that it's brought to you by our good friend Dr. Matthew J. Crawford and our friends at Austin Orthopedics, because they believe in making the inconceivable conceivable. If you have orthopedic injury or joint pain, they can take care of you. Dr. Matthew J. Crawford specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of sports-related injuries with an emphasis on injury prevention and conservative treatments. Check them out online at austin-orthopedics.com. Let Austin Orthopedics and Sports Medicine keep you at the top of your game. Our game is to let you know what's going on during the most inconceivable of times. This was probably expected, Jeff, that we'd have a celebration with Alabama winning the national championship, right? Even in pandemic times. But you would think that folks might be a little more careful. Apparently not. 14 arrests during the celebration right in the middle of downtown Tuscaloosa there. Mainly public intoxication, disorderly conduct, and resisting arrest. At least two people were injured during the celebration as well.
Why do I feel like law enforcement uses disorderly conduct like the NCAA uses failure to monitor? Just kind of we can't think of something. Just slap that on there.
Yeah, just add that to it there. And there you go. This is a really troubling story. Did you hear about the toxic dog food?
No.
The Food and Drug Administration.
Doesn't sound good.
I know. This is how serious this has gotten. The FDA's had to get involved with this. The Food and Drug Administration is recalling several brands of dog food manufactured by Midwestern Pet Foods following the discovery of potentially fatal levels of aflatoxin in some of the batches. The company had already recalled three varieties of what's called Sport Mix dog foods and cat foods in December. They had to do that because they had 28 dogs die from being poisoned by this. Have you ever heard of Sport Mix, by the way? Sport Mix dog. You don't feed your dog Sport Mix, do you?
No, and you know, I learned the hard way, Craig, about buying good food for your dogs. When my wife and I first got our dog while we were still dating, I made the mistake of buying like just your big box store, their brand of food. And my wife was like, no, no, we're feeding this dog good food because apparently there was a recall on that food at some point that, I don't know, it put paint chips in it or something or whatever. But, our dogs are well fed. The dogs and the cat are well fed.
Well, that's good because another 42 dogs have died after eating the products of the past 2 weeks. The products were made at a factory in, wait for it, Oklahoma. And distributed to online retailers and stores nationwide within the United States, according to the FDA in a statement. So this number of brands affected now includes all Midwestern pet foods, dry dog and cat foods containing corn manufactured in the Oklahoma plant and having an expiration date on or before July 9th of 2022. The FDA said, quote, as of January 11, 2021, the FDA is aware of more than 70 pets that have died and more than 80 pets that are sick after eating Sport Mix pet food. So, no truth to the rumor that, you know, there was that the pet foods were made specifically from Oklahoma people for Texas people. That's not correct. So,
yeah, Craig, just looking at the bag of this thing, it looks like you're... It's the dog food equivalent of, like, bottom shelf liquor. It's kind of what it looks like.
Okay. All right. So so we go from pet food to people food. Remember when I was telling the story about how they're shutting down those the coffee bars in Amsterdam to international people? Well, now, they're really getting serious about this in the Netherlands. A Dutch television network has filmed border officials seizing food from travelers.